year to recertify. So I, my background is in social work and gerontology, and I have worked at Genworth for about 8 years. And I right now lead a care management team of both clinical and more administrative care managers. And we actually have two people who are potentially testing in October. So we're excited about that. And my previous life, my direct practice was in a nursing facility with 100 clients at a time, up to 2,500, maybe 2,000, 2,500 residents throughout the 5 to 6 years I was there. And then I became a mom and moved over to Genworth, and I've done a lot of consulting for them as we build our care management assessment process and plan of care. And now I lead our team here. So it's been really great. And NECM and ALCA have been completely instrumental for us.
Right. Thank you. Diane.
You're on.
Yeah, I don't think we can't hear you, Diane. It doesn't show that you're muted, but I don't know if you have a microphone that's not working.
Diane, we're going to go on and go to Keith next while you look for your microphone on the screen there. See if you can get that thing going. Keith?
Hi there, Keith Mineski from Ocala, Florida. I've been certified since whenever certification became available. I've been a aging life care professional since 2003. And right now I'm actually exiting out of the practice. I am through attrition. My clients are getting less and less of the caseload. So I think when that happens, I'll just no longer be a, what do care managers do? They don't really retire. They just get older. What do? Take care of other people. I'm not sure what they do, but I'll find out here in the next maybe year or so, maybe less. We'll see how things go. Thank you for inviting me.
You can still stay connected. Okay, Holly.
Hi there. I'm Holly. I'm from Central Pennsylvania, and we are having a thunderstorm right now. And of course, I lost power during a Zoom meeting. So now I'm on battery backup and cell phone internet connection. So at least I'm here. So I got certified in the fall. I'm a nurse, and I've been acting as a patient advocate, elder care coordinator, actually since about 2010, but just got certified and things. And Keith, I'd be interested to learn why you're getting less and less clients.
I'm refusing them.
Okay,
I'm not taking any more. Yeah, I'm just simply not taking. Otherwise, I would be both the client and the professional, like the hair replacement guy. I'm going to be both the patient and the owner. I'm going to be, and I don't want to be chasing people around at 75 years old into hospitals and assisted living facilities because they'll look at me and say, we have a room for you, Keith, over here. And so, and I'm into other things too right now. So I have other interests going on right now. So I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks for elaborating. I just did not know if you saw the need decline, and I had no idea you're 75. You look so young. So thank you.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Stacy Lee. Thank you. Stacy Lee. I don't hear Stacy. You with us? Gladys?
Hi, I'm Gladys Harris. I've been a certified care manager since 2007. I'm in private practice in Northern New Jersey.
Super. Helen?
Ellen actually posted in the chat box that she's in a shared office space, so she can't speak, but that she's in Southern Colorado, and she's done discharge planning for 6 years and just got certified in December. So congratulations, Ellen. That's awesome.
Nice. Thank you. And Elizabeth?
Hi, my name's Elizabeth Bandick. I live on Amelia Island, which is Northern Florida. And I got my certification, I'm guessing it's almost 2 years. I guess it'll be 2 years in October. My background is I'm a master's prepared registered nurse. My background is mostly emergency room trauma. I was a flight nurse, trauma nurse, and then moved to this island 6 years ago with my husband. And there is no trauma unit. There's one little hospital. They send everything out. And I suddenly got, you know, bombarded people at church. Hey, can you take care of my mom? Can you do this? Realized that there is a care manager certification, and did the whole thing. Started my own business about 3 years ago. Never advertised and suddenly had 6 clients. I'm up to about 24 clients. I'm an independent practitioner. I have about 3 nurses who work with me. But I'll tell you, the care manager certification was what made me feel qualified to do what I do. Thanks. It forced me to learn a lot of things that I wouldn't have otherwise. And I refer back to that a lot, you know, just my resource manuals that I use to study. So, again, I'm just a big proponent of education. I'm actually a doctoral candidate right now, hope to finish in 1.5 years, but I will do whatever I can to support and promote the CMC certification.
Thank you. Let's swing back to Diane. Did you get your volume working?
Yes. Is this any better?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. I'm Diane Kelly, and I became certified as a sole practitioner here in 2007. And I've got one RN that helps me out. So I've been managing it myself. But talk about Keith and 75. Well, that's where I'm at. And I'm like, I would like to just kind of retire and take care of dogs. So that's my plan here. But I can't leave this service until I find somebody. So I'm really looking to find somebody in the greater Palm Springs area of California is where I live. So if you have any suggestions or know anybody that lives out here, but I've had a few leads, but so right now, you know, I carry a caseload of about 15, but some of them I only see once a year. So it's really not too bad. I can, I can manage it right now, but would like to find somebody to take this over because it's a very special service. And, you know, our community deserves, there's no one else really out here. There was one other person and she's moving away. And so anyway, I can't see leaving the community without having somebody doing this work.
Well, you're a valuable resource there. So you're very important. And I don't want to leave out Julie and then Sarah, if y'all want to say something.
Hi, just quickly, I'm Julie Wagner. I'm the VP of Operations and Administration for NACM and also the Aging Life Care Association. And I've been with with NACM since we took over the management in 2014.
Sarah?
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm the one that bothers you over 3 years. I'm the admin assistant for NACM and Aging Life Care Association. And like Julie, I've been with ALCA for 10 years and NACM since we took over management in 2014. So I do membership for ALCA and recertification for NACM.
Okay, have I missed anyone?
Stephanie Fowler just joined.
Okay.
Yes, Stephanie. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I'm a care manager, a registered nurse at public health system in New York City.
Nice. Okay, thank you. Again, I'm Lisa Easom. I'll give you a little bit of background, and I love hearing your stories and where you're located geographically and some of your backgrounds because it really does help us connect on this conversation today. I'm located in Americus, Georgia. I am on the NACM board, a relatively new appointment. I actually run a bachelor, I'm associate dean of health sciences at a university where I teach. We have a bachelor of science in long-term care management. Did you know there was a degree in that? So there is that. She said, we're trying to train them younger now so they can get to where you are eventually. I too had taken a CMC exam a long time ago when I worked with Jen Worth. I think Elizabeth worked with Jen Worth. I think I heard that. And I worked for John Hartford as a care manager for many years. So the CMC was very important. And today we do know that credentialing is incredibly important. It really defines you and your role and your proficiency as a care manager. And that CMC certification exam, it verifies your proficiency as a practitioner. And as we look back at the mission of the National Academy of Certified Care Managers, NACM, is to support the high level of competence in the practice of care management. And we do this through the administration of a formal certification program. As you know, we do use a professional testing company to help maintain the rigor and the quality of the testing. But we're ready now and moving forward to attain national accreditation of our professional certification program. And it's through a company called NCCA, the National Commission for Certifying Agencies. The NCAA is an independent, non-governmental agency that sets the standard for professional certification programs. I'm a nurse is my background. I work, gave it free of charge, pro bono. I was an accreditation visitor for over 20 years for the National League for Nursing. So I visited programs across the whole United States. And we looked at an agency for accreditation, we looked at inclusiveness. That was very important. Inclusiveness is like saying diversity. In other words, we want the program to be having, I guess, input from people that are consumers, people that serve, as well as people that were served. So that's a huge thing. We looked at exam rigors. We looked at a number of factors that the agency is maintaining the standards for promoting health, welfare, and safety, because that's what it's really all about. And so in this conversation today, we really need your assistance to be involved in a few tasks. Because, you know, by participating and giving some of your time, you are ensuring that CMC credential that I've just heard some good testimonies that meant a lot to you, but you're making sure that CMC credential is verified and recognized as meeting professional national standards. And it's your time to give back to the field, too. That's how I felt. For 20 years, I traveled all over. They would pay for me to go somewhere to make the visits, but I did not get a salary at all. I had to take my vacation time from work to be able to do it. But I still wanted to give back to the field because this is the field that I believed in. And I wanted to make it the best it can be. And you can do that, too. So participation, too, you're going to connect. You're going to find people that you connect with that you probably wouldn't have before and gain some new friendships. And also, I mean, it can lead to things like board memberships. And so it's a really good opportunity to do that. And now Julie has done a great job of making a list of things that we need for the volunteers. And Julie, can I let you speak for a while now and talk to us about what our volunteer positions are needed, how many are needed, what kind of, you don't have to be a CMC, but you can be, and many of them it's required. And that's just part of the rigor of the accreditation process by which they would certify us. Julie?
Sure. I can give maybe a brief kind of list of what we're looking for. And then I know Byron and Stephanie have both participated on some of these committees in the past and probably have a little bit of more information on what the actual process looks like when you're actually doing the work. But we, as Lisa said, we're looking to, we're doing a new job task analysis, and that's something that's required before we move forward with renewing and kind of reviewing our exam and our exam questions. And the job task analysis looks at our current domains, and there's a survey that will go out to all of the CMCs, and I believe also I think all CMCs, I'm not sure. And then it will sort of identify the tasks that you think are important in what you do in your daily work and sort of rate them. And then they do all these analytics and they come up with a new job task analysis. And then that is what our exams are based on. And then our exam will be looked at and see what areas we might need new questions written and different so they can then look at the exam questions that are written and tell us what domains we need questions written in, and then they'll give those to the committee. So the things that we're kind of looking for, the volunteers, we have a need for probably around, I'd say, 50 volunteers overall to do some work for us over the next 6 months and longer. But some are short-term, some are long-term, and they're all kind of in buckets. So I think the thing that we're really looking for is people to help with the job task analysis to be on the task force. And those people will work with as a committee to design the survey and then look at the results after the survey is done. And then we're also looking for item writers, people who will help write new exam questions for us. And that will be kind of, we're thinking, is going to be done this time in more of a group setting. We think we'll have better success with that. And so we need about 15 to 30 people willing to do item writing. And then out of that group, we'll have some people who will stay on and kind of review the items and massage them with the testing company to make sure they meet all the requirements. And then we also need an exam review committee, which is another 6 to 8 people. Some of these tasks you can do more than one of, and others you can't cross over. So it's, but what we're trying to do is find out who's interested in helping and doing some of these tasks, and then making sure in all of these different committees that we have a diverse representation of your professional background, whether you come from nursing or social work or OT or behavioral health, trying to get a broad representation, because our certificates come from all of these backgrounds. They don't just come from one. So we want these committees to represent that, as well as geographic, as well as gender, as well as length of time. So we want some new certificates as well as some, longer term certificates, because they have different perspectives. So I think that's what I have. Byron and Stephanie, do you have more to add to that?
I think that was a great overview. I think, many times when people see volunteerism or, hear the word, help, we need help. They're thinking, oh my gosh, I already have a full-time job. So I think I would encourage folks by saying that it's really not that much time. I don't want to lessen the workload. I don't want to make it sound like it's going to be easy, but it also is not a huge time commitment, depending on the different levels of help that we need. And I think Lisa just really kind of hit the nail on the head with the fact that the volunteering in something bigger than you, I think, is so fulfilling. And at least it has been for me, I think, the same as Lisa. And I think, certainly knowing that I'm part of something bigger and helping it to grow and helping this profession to grow and helping it helping something bigger than I am is self-fulfilling, but also on a selfish level, and this kind of came afterwards, just in those leadership roles or in those volunteerism roles, I'm getting to know other people. Has helped to grow my business. It's helped me to understand, other perspectives. I think I come from, so I'm not sure I ever introduced myself. I'm Byron. I'm in San Antonio. And my background is as a social worker. And I am chairman of the board for NACM. I don't think I even said that, but we, just being able to, grow my practice. We've been in practice. I have an aging life care management group that we're coming up on our 20th year in business. But knowing people from across the country and knowing best practices, I'm coming from a social work background, learning from nurses, the things that I would have never thought of, learning from other professions. So those have been just, I think, hugely beneficial for me personally and professionally. And again, the time commitment, I think it's not Not bad. It's a well-led process. NACM and our testing corporation, PTC, know what they're doing. And so it's really well-led. So it's, I guess I would say that. I'll shut up and let Stephanie talk.
No, I think you pretty much said it all, Byron. I think from a personal point of view, I mean, certainly if you would have asked me 10 years ago about writing questions, you know, I would say that's overwhelming and I don't know how to do that. And my thought would be, I can't and I won't and no. And because people didn't let me say no, I think that it got me involved in a process that I actually find very exciting personally. It's very enriching. It's very rewarding. I learn a lot. It forces you just to look at the item writing. You know, you have to look at references. So it forces you just to go back and look for references. Make sure that our references are current. Make sure that the questions that we ask are the things that we think we're asking, and that the answers are, you know, the answers we think we really want. I mean, we often learn from the people who take the test that there was some kind of, you know, discrepancy that we didn't understand when we made that question. And we have to go back and take a look at it because more people are not getting the answer that we should get. And we've had to change and go deep into that. So I think on a personal level, it was exciting. I think that the time commitment, I know when Julie talks about this long list of things that we need, you know, obviously you're not going to say yes to all of them. And all you need to do is say yes to one. And as Byron said, you know, we have great leadership in the NACM team, administratively, and in our test people. So I think that my recommendation is dip your toe in the water. You will really like it.
I like that. And, you know, Brenda said the group writing does seem like an excellent way to get creative. You know, it's really nice working in a group to do test writing. I've been a writer for the National NCLEX exam for registered nurses and wrote their test items for the national exam. And it's good if you're in a group, just know that when you first, you know, you have your question out there and they're all usually case scenarios and all of you have this in your heads, you know, you're planning care for Mr. Johnson, who's a 83-year-old, no, you just talk about him and then you ask some questions about what should the care manager plan to do first. Well, you know, as it goes through the process in a group, they kind of massage it. So in other words, it won't be the same as when you first put it out there, but everybody has a little bit of something to add to it, which makes it even better each time it goes because of the life experiences that all of you have had. Oh, when I did this, this is what happened. So that's how you get that right answer. And then I know that our testing company and looking at things like critique analysis is what I always do with all of my questions that I give on exams to students. And I can see what percentage either got them correct or wrong. And then I have to go back and reevaluate. This massaging that your committee is going to do with you as you write an item is going to make it so much stronger than at the end. So you won't have as much to go back. So it's a very helpful thing. It's a collegial thing. It's not a critique kind of thing at all. It's just sharing of yourself.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, Lisa, that, you know, I think the other thing about item writing, and I would echo what Stephanie said when I was first asked, you know, to do item writing. And I was a professor for 10 years. But I would often use the test bank questions, right, that came with the textbook. I didn't like writing my own questions. And part of that is just, you know, not feeling comfortable in it, not feeling comfortable in testing someone. And so, but Stephanie, just like you, and probably the same person forced me to do some item writing. We won't name her name, but it was an interesting process, and I really enjoyed it. And I think that group massaging the question and making it better does work. And then to know that there are ultimately item reviewers and then PTC. So even if you write, a question and you're not quite sure, you only come up with two of the answers, a group or the item, other folks can help come up with answers. And again, that it might not look like what you originally thought it might look like, but it's the concept. We need that. We need all these different points of view. So it's a really fun process. It really is.
I think that the fact that everybody's sitting on this call, just as an example, comes from such different backgrounds professionally, is a piece that's so important to our certification. I think it adds to it. I think Keith, you're muted, but you know what? Your experience, you would be amazing as an addition and as part of where you are on the cusp of moving towards a new life. I think you have so many years of experience that you can add to this process.
And I liked Thank what you.
And Diane too.
Everyone here.
A writer and a reviewer. So you can take it for, look over the questions that have been written. So I think that's two roles right there that might be very separate, but yet, Keith, that might be something. Oh, I can review that because I've done this for years. I know what the answer is. That'd be great.
Well, I'd like to help you, but I think I'm going to respectfully decline your offer at this point in time. However, because I do teach these classes online, anything that you come up with, any changes to the program, anything you got, so I will pass on what we've discussed in this meeting that NACCM is looking at their process, is looking at what's going on internally and externally with how they could better that process. And I'll forward that information to the students. And anybody on whoever wants to come and speak to the class is more than welcome to speak to the class directly about the benefits of joining, the benefits of getting certified, rather than hear from me. Anybody, whoever would like to come into the class, just contact me and let me know. And I'd be happy to schedule a time for you to come in and introduce.
Keith, what do
either,
you teach online?
Care management. Geriatric care management, specifically.
Certificate Everything program. You,
okay.
Certificate,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I teach 3 out of the 4 classes there, so not particularly this semester, which started today, because this is all about community resources and those types of things. But the next one is about the practice of care management, the things that we do, the assessments, the initial phone calls, follow-up, care plans, all that stuff. Not all that stuff, because you can never fit all of that stuff into any number of classes, because we do so many different things all the time. But the basic stuff. So that would be a good place for somebody if they want to come in and talk about certification and importance of certification.
Keith, where do you teach?
University of Florida, up at UF.
And Keith, I'll be happy to talk with you offline about kind of visiting with your class. Talking sure. about care management, certainly from a NACM perspective and my private practice perspective, I think that'd be great.
Excellent. Yeah. Anybody who has an interest in a perspective or an idea, a concept, you've been doing this for a long time, if you have some valuable information, because for the most part, the people, and it's small classes, it's a certificate program, but we're getting, people coming in from other as elective, my classes on how to become electives to the Department of Psychology for clinical psych and things like that, Department of Education, they're coming in taking electives. So the point in that is if I could offer a good class that opens up their minds to care management, geriatric care management, ELCA, and all the rest of it. So, people coming in like yourselves or professionals to speak on subjects might just be the one thing that stays with them and say, hey, I need to look into this care management type of thing, even though they're coming from different professions, as electives come into my class. And then we do get people who are interested in care management who come in to take the full courses, all 4 courses, and get your certificate. But that offer is open to anybody who's interested. Just contact me, let me know, we'll schedule a time.
You know, Byron, I think it's a great idea what you're saying. You could do a short video. And here where I have a Bachelor of Science in Long-Term Care Management, it's a four-year degree in it. And all of those students, because we teach all the LTCM courses here, could benefit from listening to a short video clip from you. It could be a recruiting for these volunteer areas, people, because a lot of the people that are in our program are already nurses and social workers. I've got a Master of Public Health now. She's just finishing another undergraduate degree and said she learned things in this LTCM program that she never thought about. But we could use this as a recruiting tool for some of these volunteers, because I can show it in the classroom because they're online. They're all online. And I think that would be great. He might could do the same thing and we could get some volunteers through that. That's a different avenue that I hadn't thought about that until...
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that either. I was just about to say that, you know, Keith, and of course, Lisa, you know, we'd love to probably have some student perspectives and the item writing and the task analysis. So the job task analysis. I mean, I think that'd be really interesting. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Happy to do it.
That's great.
Julie, did you want to comment on, I think we discussed this, is there opportunity for any CE credits or any other kind of, acknowledgement somebody could use on their resume about participating in the item writing or in the process of going through getting to a new exam?
Yes, thank you, because that totally went out of my mind. So yes, that is something that is possible. We have to determine the exact way that will work this year if we're doing it a little differently in this group setting. But there it will be specifically for certain things, some CE credit available, which is just another benefit towards your renewal as well as helping the profession. So we will put that out. Last time there was a certain amount of hours per number of questions submitted. If we're doing it in a group setting, we're going to have to look at how that would work, but it would still be available. And somebody else asked a question in the chat that was how often we do this or if this is our normal process. So every 5 years we are to do a job task analysis. And then we do, when that's done, we look at the exams as well. And we are updating our exams so that we have always two exams running that are different so that people are able to sit for the exam more than one time if they don't pass. So it's not always the same exam that's being run. So this is just an annual, or not annual, following our schedule of doing it every 5 years, but also part of our accreditation process is making sure we have these committees with diversity in our participants. So we're trying to make sure we're meeting all of the requirements for that at the same time.
Well, it looks like a number of people want to be involved. Julie, do you have contact information from everyone, or so you can reach
back out? I do. I've taken those notes down of people who have said that. So thank you very much. And I've added you to a list and we'll be sending kind of more detailed information and trying to, if you've said something you were specifically interested in, I noted that as well. So, and certainly, I think the other thing is, you know, you're welcome to pass this information on to other people in the field that you work with. They didn't have to be on this call today, and we will be doing some sort of a video. I think we're planning to do sort of a test item writing workshop, maybe, or just some sort of a learn how to write items session, and then whether we do that in advance or we do that as part of these group writing, I think that we're still working on the details of that. I've been talking to the testing company and they have some suggestions of how that might work as well. But more information to come very shortly, actually, because this process needs to get going, because it takes a long, all the steps take a long time. before they can actually be implemented and a test can be run before we can finish up our accreditation application. So
very good. Well, I'll tell you, I would be most interested in item writing because that's where I have my more experience. And I don't tend to use test banks because I've learned after teaching for quite a few years that most of the answers are out there on the internet or you can purchase them. And so while I might use a few of those occasionally, I always make them a better test item than what the test bank gave them.
I should give the caveat that I came off of faculty in 2012. So The internet has certainly changed a whole lot. In the last 10 years, but it's been a while. So, yes.
So I think that, you know, that creativeness that's going to come out of that committee is going to be kind of energizing and it'll come up with some really good items, I think.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I've heard, this is Elizabeth. I'm the unit leader for North Florida for ELCA. And when I took my exam and got my results that I had passed, a lot of people contacted me and asked if I would do a test review. And I said, well, you know, you can pay for the, I think it's $75 for the 50 questions and you can do the review course. But, you know, is there anything else that we're even thinking that could be offered?
Can you clarify who was reaching out to you asking for a test review?
So there were other ELCA chapters. Again, I'm the North Florida unit, and there was a discussion about the CMC exam, and I said, well, I just took it. This was almost 2 years ago. I said, I just took it. You know, and then there were people, well, can you send us, you know, some advice, some questions, some this, some that. And I just thought, you know, is there, you know, a very comprehensive review?
Yes, NACM offers a review course, a prep course for the exam.
Covering the five areas. Yeah, and I actually took the review course.
Right, so that would be where we would direct them. I mean,
I also want to add that there was I don't remember her name. I can probably find it. There was a care manager who contacted me who said that she'd taken the exam, I don't know what it was, 5 times or 8 times and just couldn't pass. And I wondered what that was about. And I referred her to you, Julie. I don't know if she ever spoke to you, because certainly, I mean, I didn't take it that many years ago. I think I took it about 2.5 years ago or so. I remember most of the questions being reasonable, some of them being incomprehensible, but I'm assuming that is just what happens to anyone taking these tests. Just as long as there aren't too many of them that each individual test taker is kind of bewildered by, then you're okay. And I do understand that one of the challenges is that the CMC is a much broader certification than just care management. It does include some other things. But yeah, I mean, I would love to be involved, certainly in developing more robust items. I think that's super important.
Great. That's amazing. And I think you'd be great at it with your standards experience as well. So that's great. Stephanie?
Yeah. Am I muted? No, I'm not muted. Yeah, Brenda, I think that that's certainly something that we look at post every single sitting for the exam, that if there's too many, so it's a whole host of issues. Is there a question that too many people are not getting right? Well, then there's a fault with the question. If if you see that across the board. The issue about, and then you want a test that is really testing for what we as aging life care professionals do. So you don't want to make it so easy that everybody just passes, but it's meaningless. So that's the balance. And that's what we look at as well, because we like to keep, there are certain statistical in terms of how, what percentage pass a test, and what percentage don't pass. So that is done according to very rigid standards. But I certainly know that for someone who's taken five times and keeps failing it, I mean, there's all kinds of issues that come up. I had a friend that kept failing the bar exam. And I told her to go for therapy. And she went for therapy and she passed it the very next time, because sometimes it just becomes a block that you sort of just... I remember when I took my licensure exam, one of the things that they sent you was an affirmation tape, which is probably the most helpful thing that I learned, that I listened to, that kept saying, you can do this and you've earned the right to do this and take this exam. So sometimes it's just a mental block that we have to get beyond.
Stephanie Fowler has her hand raised, I think.
It was a question about another Zoom call.
Yeah, we don't. I'm trying to think. We don't have another Zoom call this week, so I'm not sure what that could be, Linda. I'm answering Linda Wilson's question. And Stephanie Fowler, oh, she unraised her hand, so maybe she didn't have anything. Okay. Does anyone else have questions?
I have something, and I don't know how to raise the hand thing there, so I'm just going to jump right in. And this may not be popular. What about re-examining again after like 10 years because of all the changes that do happen in healthcare, all the changes that happen in communications, all the changes that happen in finances and medical care and Medicaid. And so even those of us that have been certified, you know, you send in your CEUs for your, and that's been a great process, but maybe every 10 years have us, for the same price that it would be for research, sit down and take that test again.
Well, I like where you're going with that for income for the organization. That's a bold step. But I do think, I mean, I think that's the whole point of continuing education, is that you're asking people to continue to grow and learn. So I think, you know, in other certification processes and even licensure processes, we don't ask people, we ask them to continue to prove that they're growing and keeping up with current knowledge, but we don't ask them to retest, right? The social work board doesn't ask me to retest, nursing boards don't ask you to retest, things like that. I think in things where you can't prove someone's driver's license, right? We might ask folks to retest for a driver's license because you can't show competency in that in another way. But that's an interesting theory. I'm not sure how, I agree with you. I'm not sure how popular
it would be. Popular.
I think it would be very unpopular.
No, I'm sure.
I have a question.
Yeah, Linda, was it?
Yeah, I have a question. Has anybody talked about licensing as opposed, in addition to, or the next step of actually making this a licensed field? The reason I bring that up is a number of reasons. It's, you know, what we're doing is pretty dang important. And there are people that I'm associated, I know where I live, that call themselves care managers. They are not, you know, they don't go through what we go through, but there's no reason they can't say they're a care manager. So, you know.
Isn't that a state thing to be licensed?
Yes, it is. So state by state. And I, you know, Florida, I don't know, Stephanie, if you want to talk, Florida has pursued potential licensure for, you know, I'll just real quickly, I'll say that, you know, care management, the CMC is a broader term that I'm not sure, you know, that our certification would, I don't know, that it would lend itself to licensure. I go back to Abraham Flexner, who did the research on what makes you a profession, I think it'd be hard to prove that, at least in the broader sense, that we are one profession. ALCA, which is a separate organization, might be able to talk about being defined as a profession kind of under the Flexner rules. But in the broader sense, I'm not sure. I think it might be really hard. Stephanie, I don't know if you want to talk about how what Florida's done.
But I think, Linda, you raise a really important issue that has been the source of a lot of discussion and angst over the years. Certainly Florida did have an issue. And in fact, our membership at the time voted to go for licensure. And so we have had a task force that's devoted purely to licensure. It is a very, very complicated and expensive process. And I have to say, I think it's still going on. You know, we still have that task force. We have money in the Florida budget towards doing that. I agree with you. I mean, this is such a perennial problem of people who sort of say that they do what we do. And we have no, you know, at least we know that for members, and I'm talking about the Aging Life Care Association, so it's different from NACA. But I think we know, either through our CMC and our mission and now our code of ethics and standards of practice as NACM, that people who are getting our certification and who are members of ALCA as well, you know, certainly follow a standard of practice and a code of ethics that we believe in. But this is a, you know, we move towards, even with the rebranding, was a whole thing to trademark, you know, aging life care professional or aging life care manager, to be able to try and begin to try and cut out people who choose not to join the association and who just literally hang up a shingle and charge, and we have no way of knowing what they're doing and how to protect the public and to protect consumers. I think this is an ongoing discussion. Our CMC and our devotion, I think, and our drive towards accreditation is to make CMC the certification, so that anybody who is looking for a certification, we have we're looking towards the accreditation. So we'll be the premier accreditation in aging life care management.
Anyway, well, or even in that broader sense, the back, and I think probably most people, if not everyone on this call right now, is probably an ALCA member, or at least maybe working in the kind of the ALCA world. But half of our certificates don't work in the ALCA world. They work in other community-based care management programs. Not to say that they couldn't join ALCA, but again, certification and a membership-driven organization, we are different. But I do think, and Julie made the excellent point in the comment box, that the CMC credential is you said one way to differentiate yourself. I would argue, Julie, it's the way to, it's the way to differentiate yourself. So, you know, the folks that have popped up in our area that say, oh, well, I do that. Well, I do that. We kind of come in and say, and as everyone on my staff, we have 6 care managers. We're all certified. And I know other organizations, other ALCA members, other organizations have said, well, we try to get at least one certified. We try to get, you know, we try to get one of our people certified so they're on the list. Or I think that's not a whole lot different than, you know, the person down the street who says, I took care of my grandmother, so I'm a care manager now. And I say, well, you know, you can print anything on your business cards, but you know, the CMC, I think, sets us apart. And that's what we push to our referral sources and the folks when they call, the people that call us. We say, you know, I hope you call around, because we're not perfect for everybody, but here's what sets us apart.
I agree with that. The CMC does distinguish and does set us apart, and it drives me crazy that we have a large, and they're not national, but they're regional and growing, assisted living company that's headquartered here in Jersey, and their aides are referred to as care managers. Yeah. And every time I walk in one of those buildings, I almost go ballistic, but I've tried to control myself. Yeah. And I belong to several networking groups, since I don't do any advertising. And it's appalling the number of people that I have encountered that refer to themselves as care managers, mm-hmm. and have been promoting themselves as care managers, and they are nowhere close to being a care manager in the sense of how we expect a care manager to be in terms of the background and the training and you know, how they conduct themselves. But yet the other people that they're networking with don't know that. The public doesn't know that. I've often thought, and I don't know, I'll have this offline conversation, I guess, with Julie in terms of how do we put together an article and put it in like the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. It says, you know, what's the difference between a certified, you know, geriatric care manager's the CMC credentialing versus a care manager. I think it's important for us to kind of beat the drum about that, because now that so many seniors are, families are keeping people home instead of sending them to subacute rehab. And it's important that they have the right guidance to make that a successful process. And that's not happening. So this is clearly an opportunity for us to do a better job of, I think, communicating and educating the public in terms of the value we bring to the table and how we are just so much better and better suited to guide them through this crazy process. I'm sorry if I sound passionate about it, but I had a conversation this morning at breakfast with a home care company that actually had the nerve to say, well, anybody can be a care manager. I'm besides myself.
That's an interesting, those are great comments. And Gladys, thank you for mentioning that, because we all need to think about that and how we can get this word out that the CMC credential is the credential to have that shows the proficiency of the practitioner, as opposed to those that are in general just call themselves a care manager and they're really not. You know, this hour, I see that our time is almost at an end, and I just wanted to, first of all, thank everybody for participating, for your volunteerism. I see a bunch of that coming out of this group, and for your great ideas. They've been super today. Are there any more last minute comments that people want to make before we close out? We have 2 minutes.
Make one really quickly, and just to kind of be on the opposite side of some of the comments, you know, when we do apply for the certification, we do have to have a certain number of years of care management experience. So, I mean, we can't all be certified right out the gate. So, I mean, obviously there's a level of supervision, but I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, we do refer to the individuals on my team as care managers. You know, we're certainly not, you know, it's not a title protected term, you know, because I'm supervising them and we do feel like that's the work. So, you know, just another flip side to it. You know, we can't all be care managers, you know, immediately. So it's just, is the work aligned? And I certainly agree that the work is not always aligned and that, you know, you can be a case manager for, I heard somebody once say Jeep has case managers and that made me smile. So, you know, that term does get thrown around a lot. I do agree, but just to remind myself too that, you know, it is that is the same term.
Okay. Anyone else? It,
just a small sort of advertisement. The next CMC exam is in October, and the application window closes on September 16th at midnight Eastern time. So if you have anybody, if you want to like and share and pass that information on to people that you know that are not certified that might be ready to do that next step, we would love to. The only way we're going to grow is by continuing to get new certificates in the field and pass that information on to other people. So we would appreciate that help doing that.
Okay. Well, again, thank you all for participating. It's been a great conversation today. We look forward to our activity with everyone in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for leading us, Lisa, today.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Nice job.